hard is left in the dust. These ancient thoughts still exist today. And in the words of the psalmist, the Lord has an answer for us. And the Lord says, don't fret about this. Don't fret. Remember a year ago? Remember a year ago when the world was falling apart? And Aaron Rodgers just had to say, R-E-L-A-X. That's what the Lord says through the psalmist. God says when it comes to the evil and the wicked, don't worry, I've got this. Here's what the psalmist declares through the Lord. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. And to the faithful, here's what the Lord says. Don't focus on the wicked. Here's what I want you to focus on. Depart from evil and do good, so you shall abide forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his faithful ones. The author of Psalm 37 gives us practical advice on how we can learn to do just that. And as I read through this psalm, as I was thinking about what I was going to preach on, it struck me that there are a number of very concrete and practical things that the psalmist says to you and me, just as he said to the people of Israel nearly 3,000 years ago. This is what you can do to learn to trust the Lord more in your life. So I am going to give you four biblical steps today for learning to trust the Lord better in your life. Step one. How do we learn to trust the Lord? Well, trust in the Lord and do good. Now, that would probably lead you to go, duh. Well, of course, if you're going to trust in the Lord, you've got to trust in the Lord, which is absolutely true, but you know what? It's something we don't always think about. Remember the old, those of us who are old enough, remember the old Alka-Seltzer commercial? Try it, you'll like it. When it comes to trusting the Lord, that's what we are called to do. We are called to actually try and trust in the Lord, because trusting in the Lord is not a theoretical pursuit. In the Bible, trust, faith, is always in action. It's there in the Old Testament. It's also here in the New Testament, all over the place, including the book of James. You cannot be a religious couch potato. If you just sit around and you never trust the Lord, you're not going to get anywhere when it comes to trusting the Lord. You actually have to try and do it. And the author of this psalm, just as the prophet Amos, the apostle Paul, Jesus, all around the Bible, they say, God's people, in order to trust the Lord, need to do good. Trust grows when we actually dare to do good in God's name. It is so simple, but it is so important. You and I are called to do good, and we are called to battle evil in this world each and every day. That's why 3 weeks ago, this is part of our God's Work Our Hands crew on September 11th, when we went out and spent the day working in our communities, that was one little way in which we were learning to trust the Lord. We were doing good in his name. Every time you do good, every time you stand up against what is wrong and evil, you are learning to trust the Lord more. The second step the author of Psalm 37 tells us we need to do in order to learn to trust the Lord is this. We need to take delight in the Lord, because when we take delight in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. Which means for us as believers, we've got to really praise God. We've got to know that God is a great and amazing and fantastic, and he is worthy of our praise. Remember those of us who are older, the first time you fell in love, and all you could do was think about him. Or think about her and how wonderful they were and how life was great when you were around them. Well, that's how God wants us to think about him. Because God isn't some leftover thought. God doesn't want us to think about him when we've got nothing else going on in our lives. God wants to be the joyous focal point of our lives always. He wants us to take delight in him. He does not want us to take delight in stuff. That's where so many people mess it up. The psalm says, take delight in the Lord, not take delight in stuff. God says in the psalm, I want to be the delight of your heart. And for us to know that, we must always remember this important lesson. It's not about me. When it's all about me, that's when we mess up. When it's all about me, that's when sin and evil take over. God says, it's all about me. That's why these amazing words from the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4, he caught the runaway, good for you. These amazing words from Paul in Philippians 4, where he talks about Christians need to think about those things that are noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent. And we aren't just supposed to think about those things. We are to do those things. We are to put them in practice. That's how we learn to take delight in the Lord. Step three, the author of Psalm 37 says, we need to commit our ways to the Lord. We need to trust in him and he will act. What is it like to be completely and totally 100% committed to something? Well, it looks a little like this. And it looks a little like this, and it looks a little like this. God wants us to be completely committed to him. In the book of Deuteronomy, we hear these words. Moses speaking to the people of Israel right after they have received the Ten Commandments. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Notice he doesn't say, love the Lord your God with part of your heart and 30% of your soul, and whatever strength you've got left over after you do everything else. God wants everything. He wants us to be totally committed to him. And once again, faith means action. Faith means we take this commitment and we put it into action in our lives. We don't worry about the wicked. We don't worry about everyone else. We focus on ourselves because God is saying to us, I've got your back. I'm in charge. I'm in control. I will take care of this. God promises to his faithful that they will be vindicated in the end. That God is in charge, and in the end, things will work out the way God wants them to work out. He says in the psalm, he will make your vindication shine like the light. You and I need to remember that in life. When there is so much sin and evil and corruption going on in the world, focus on what God calls us to do. God will make things right. And then comes the fourth step. And this is one in our busy lives so often we forget all about. Because God says, be still. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Because so often when we think about this, it kind of goes like this. We want God to act, and we want him to act now, and we want him to act the way we want him to act. But another one of the Psalms says, be still and know that I am God. Too often in life, we get all caught up in the sound of our own voice, in what we want, in what we think is right. And you know what? That's not usually a very good thing to listen to. God says, take the time to be quiet and listen to me. Because when you listen to me, then you learn. That's why the psalmist calls upon us to meditate on God's scriptures. All those amazing stories that I talked about at the very beginning of my sermon, remember the stories of those who learned to trust the Lord. Remember those who went through difficult times but who didn't give up on the Lord, who stuck with them, and the Lord always stuck with them. Now, but again, we like to go, yes, but, because we often think that we are smarter than God, Or God's ways are nice, but they're not going to work in the real world. We are so good at doing that. And when that creeps into your head, when that creeps into my mind, just remember this picture of Laurel and Hardy, okay? That's a really important thing for all of us to keep in mind. When God gave those commandments to his people, he said this to them, "Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart." God told the people of Israel, "I want you to think about the things I've said to you when you're at home and when you're away," which means all the time. "I want you to think about the words, meditate on the words I have given you when you're in bed and when you're not in bed," all the time. And one good example that the author of Psalm 37 gives us on how to do this is something we all know about in our lives: anger. You ever get mad? You ever get ticked off? Well, the author of Psalm 37 says, "Refrain from anger and forsake wrath." Why? Because it's really hard to be still and listen to the Lord when you're busy being angry. The Bible is filled with reminders on how we need to handle anger. In the book of Ephesians, we're told to be angry. Anger is a human emotion. We will get angry. It will happen. But the author, the Apostle Paul, says, "Be angry, but don't sin. And don't let the sun go down in your anger, and don't leave room for the devil." When you get angry, handle it in a quick and godly fashion. In Psalm 4, again, the Psalms have a lot to say about this. In Psalm 4, "Don't sin by letting anger control you." You've got to put it aside. Just as God says to Cain in Genesis chapter 4, that don't let sin, don't let anger master you. The psalmist, this ancient songwriter from nearly 3,000 years ago, he has so much good, so much wisdom to share with you and with me. He tells us all to wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the earth. Now that takes work, and we like the easy button. I think Staples, when they came up with the easy button, they hit on something we all can understand, right? We like the easy, we like the quick, we like the fast, we like the things that don't take any effort. But you know what? I love this quote from President Theodore Roosevelt, that everything that has ever been achieved that's worthwhile has taken effort. And the same is true of learning to trust in the Lord. So let me close with just two more verses from Psalm 37. "Turn from evil and do good, and you will always live securely. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble." Remember, the Lord is your strength. Always. And so make the effort, make the time, be quiet and listen, and learn to trust in the Lord every day of your life. Amen.
I invite you now to stand as you're able as we join together confessing our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Oh, power, send us grace.
Today, the response for each petition of the prayer will be, Lord, in your mercy, with the congregation responding, hear our prayer. Dear God, help us to grow in faith so that we learn to trust you completely. We pray that the words of the ancient psalmist we hear today will give us guidance.